The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Peter Hanley, the actor and playwright, joins me for the Thursday interview this week. Peter, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Kieran. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, listen, thanks a million for coming in to us. I know you're deep in rehearsals because you're performing in God's Own County in Kilkenny in the Arts Festival from the 5th until the 12th of August. And KilkennyArts.ie if people want to find out more about it. We'll get to that in a moment. How often do people reference Ambrose and Ballykiss Angel to you?
I was telling someone recently, a couple of guards did the other day.
Did they?
They were lovely. They were helping us out. Something had happened. And they were very discreet, but they said, oh yeah, we Googled you there and we saw it come up. Actually, and I said, oh, was it Ballykiss Angel? And they said, actually, no, it was more Braveheart. But because, I mean, Ballykiss Angel was in the 90s. I did four seasons of it. I was in the 90s, so, and it's not on that much on channels I'd be looking at anyway, whereas Braveheart is on pretty religiously. Is it on at least once a year in RTE and maybe other places as well? So, yeah, I appear.
So you get reintroduced, you get introduced rather to new audiences, maybe more often through Braveheart.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Longshanks' son is the real reference for people.
That's it. And people say, mistakenly, they say that's a really funny bit where you get thrown out the window.
Oh, but no, that's not you getting thrown out the window.
No,
of course. It's
your boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. The other half.
Stephen Billington played, and Patrick McGowan was the dad, Longshanks. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, it was a very exciting time. It was amazing to be part of a huge film with a huge crew, and of course it's a typical actor thing to say my potentially best scene was cut. I spent a lot of time rehearsing a sword fight scene which eventually was cut. It was a practice sword fight with my boyfriend character. It was supposed to look kind of dangerous. But it was cut. It was a long enough film as it was, maybe, you know.
Yeah, maybe. So what was the ambition when you were coming out of secondary school? Because you didn't go to you didn't go after RADA or any of this as some people do.
That's right. Well, I suppose the ambition was to like try to be an actor, but like so tentatively, like I didn't have the confidence. I didn't really know maybe how to go about it. I'd heard there were these acting schools in, you know, famous places like, say, RADA in the UK. Didn't know much about it, but I did have a fire in me. I did want to explore.
Where did
this.
That come from?
Well, it didn't like genetically come from anyone in the family. There was no one before me acted. I saw my older brother Michael in a school play, Shakespeare play, and I thought, I think I can do that. I think I'd like to try to do that. Like when I'm in fifth year, the plays were around fourth, fifth year. And the great Jerry Haw was his name. So he was an English and history teacher, and he was the man who did all the plays and musicals in my school. And yeah, so sure enough, when I was at the right age, I did those plays. I loved them. I wasn't sporty at all. I never had that bonding team thing from sport, but I had it from doing plays. After I left school, I joined the Dublin Youth Theatre, just around the corner in Gardiner Street, as it happened. And then I was born. You know, it was great. I was meeting like-minded people. It was a youth club that did plays. Really, excuse me, unpretentious, no hint of training, just, you know, let's get together and do this. And there were brilliant people running it who knew kind of what was good for us. It was about personal and social development, meeting people from different areas of the city, different backgrounds. Sorry. And, you know, I was meeting girls as well, you know. I'd gone to an all-boys school.
Which is important
so
at that age.
It was opening my mind in all sorts of ways.
And so how tentative then when you describe kind of, you know, this, you know, a nervous ambition maybe, as it were, to become an actor. I mean, did you pursue normal work?
Yes, so I did, yeah. For 2 years I was in, clerical jobs, as we used to call them. They don't really exist anymore, do they?
Yeah.
I mean, literally pen and paper.
They probably do, but we've just come up with a fancier title for them. That's the reality.
Right. Yeah. Kind of admin. Well, I wasn't administering anything. I was just, I was following orders. So I worked in AIB in the clearing department in Donnybrook. I worked in a Guinness owned company, and I worked in the gas company on Dalier Street. And I met some nice people, but it wasn't for me. And meanwhile, I was loving the weekends of DYT, Dublin Youth Theatre rehearsals, and gaining some confidence, thinking, yeah, I think I understand a bit now what acting is and what the acting business is. You'd meet people, people would come in and do workshops maybe, and you'd realise, yeah, that's a professional actor, that's a director, and I'm going to plays now in the Project Arts Centre in the Abbey and so on. And yeah, I think I will just soon stop doing these jobs and, with my parents' patience, call myself an actor.
Yeah. and then by the time you get to that Ballykiss Angel and Braveheart, you're probably the envy of a lot of the people who you started with in the youth theatre group. You know, you've got what lots of actors love, which is the steady gig, as it were, with Ballykiss Angel or something close to it. And you've got the Hollywood box ticked, even though a lot of it filmed in the Wicklow Mountains and what have you. Although I don't know where they filmed. You were in castles most of it. Where were they filmed?
I was in Trim Castle.
Oh, was that in Trim? Okay.
And and then interiors in Ardmore in Britain.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Hollywood, you know, yeah, by remove.
Exactly. And it ended up winning 3 Oscars, I think.
Yes, just incredible. That in there. Yeah. And what was that like, that experience like, you know, to be in that world?
It was, yeah, I suppose, thankfully, I suppose for me, because I wasn't terribly mature at any stage, I think if I'd experienced what, like some actors we know, some stars, some amazing Irish actors and others have experienced by going directly into these enormous jobs, you know, these movie stars. So what I did when I became an actor was actually worked in Kilkenny for about a year with a company, and then we moved to Dublin, and I was a freelance actor for several years before I got so I started professional acting in 85 and Ballykay was 94. I was also in an independent Irish film made by Jerry Stembridge called Guilt Trip that was 94 as well. So I'd had some manners put on me, and I'd had some realism about how it was, but it was still incredibly exciting, as I said there at the start, being on this enormous set. Even just, you know, the way they build these sets in studios, the size of the crew, the organizational power of the thing, the hierarchy. It's amazing. Like stuntmen. Like I was standing near stuntmen. I wasn't cool enough. No, they were lovely, but yeah, there was a scene cut from it. It was a fight scene in Braveheart that was cut. But we rehearsed it for about a week, and so I had a double, and there was a fight director, a swordsman, and I was just impressed by everyone. And I tried not to be too impressed, if you like. I tried to just remember, yeah, you're acting now. Think of what you normally do when you're acting. It's a character. What does this character want? Where are they from? Where are they going?
And in 9 years, you described from, say, 85 up to 94 when Ballykay starts. You get the Ballykiss Angel experience. You've got Braveheart. You know, you're on the pig's back, as how some might, from the outside looking in. Then kind of let's fast forward a little to, say, 2011 and the Gaiety. And talk to us about what happened.
Yeah,
my apologies.
Not at all. Things were going well. I mean, the screen work was kind of confined to the 90s, but in the noughties and beyond, it was kind of back to stage work. But it was going well. It was going very well. And there were some places I was working in more regularly for the first time. Like, I'd really started working regularly at the Gate and with certain directors. It was going great. What happened? You have to come and see the play, and I'll try to tell you in the play what happens. I still don't know exactly what happened, but at the beginning of the dress rehearsal for a play called Molly Sweeney by Brian Friel at the Gate Theatre in Dublin, I suddenly experienced an overwhelming anxiety, and I felt that I couldn't continue. And the anxiety was around the lines. So here's the sort of lack of logic that comes with a phobia, I suppose, like people who think that plane is going to crash if I get on it, people who think that spider is going to kill me. It feels phobic, this fear of forgetting my lines, even though I knew them. This the irrational part. In the fourth week of rehearsal, you're off book, as we say. You've put the script down. You know your lines.
Yeah.
So there was no reason why I should have had this sort of attack of nerves. But I felt I'm not going to remember the lines. Now, the big irony here is that I did remember the lines for the dress rehearsal. and the previews and the opening and the whole run of it, and another four different productions over about a year and a half.
Yeah.
So going into 2012, but this irrational anxiety just got more and more intense, and I felt I have to stop or I'm going to go mad. I was miserable and terrified the whole time as an actor on stage.
And have you then, since through, I don't know, conversations with family or with professionals, or even just through the experience of this current production, come to understand better what happened or where it came from?
You'd think, wouldn't you? well, I do. I mean, we give it a good old examination in the show and try to and the show is called What Are You Afraid Of? And try to broaden that out into other anxieties as well, because unfortunately, anxiety is in a lot of us a lot of the time. But have I come to understand it? I think I've come to accept it a bit more. I don't really know. Yeah, so I did go to couple of therapists. One in particular, I went to for a good while, like 10 or 12 months, and had a budget. I had some money from a voiceover, maybe a couple of voiceovers, which were paid nicely, and I just used that up, and it was all gone then, and I hadn't been fixed, and I stopped. We were kind of going around in circles. It didn't help.
Were you a rational thinker? Because I think sometimes, you know, rational thinkers try to rationalize even anxiety. I want to understand exactly where this comes from, and put it in a rational prism so I can understand it. And I know sometimes from speaking to other people who have anxiety about particular issues or phobias or however they describe it, they say part of it is accepting the irrationality of it.
Mm, that's a very good point. Yeah, yeah. I suppose I am rational in some ways. Those who know me best would say I'm pedantic, and yeah, I want things to be in their place. I want to understand things. And actually, a director, I said, you know what, you're quite a perfectionist. Which,
did he mean it as a compliment?
I think the point they were making was, you know, there are certain, I shouldn't say this, there are certain actors who aren't maybe that accurate with their line learning, and they kind of, they approximate things sometimes. This is just between ourselves now.
Yes, absolutely.
But and they give wonderful, powerful performances and very relaxed performances, and it's great. But no, I'd be kind of a bit controlling of myself, controlling of what's going on in my brain, and maybe that doesn't help. Maybe that doesn't help. And I don't know. I mean, is it that Peter Hanley can't stand a certain level of anxiety, or my anxiety levels are higher than others would have?
It's a good way of putting it. Yeah,
I don't know, but we try to explore it in the show, and as I say, talk about anxiety generally, and I talk about my family. My parents were becoming older at the time, were becoming more needful of supports, and there was a stress. I was a parent of young children myself at the time, and it was a stressful time, and I'm ready, certainly ready to admit by now, I am an anxious person.
Yes.
So
has the process of the play been cathartic?
It has in lots of ways. I mean, yeah, catharsis is, it's kind of a big one, because it should somehow heal. Well, does it fix or does it heal? I'm not sure. But one thing it's doing, and we're in week three of rehearsals now, and we're having a lot of fun. We're having a huge amount of fun. And I do like comedy. So I do like black humour, and I like when it sneaks up in the audience, takes them by surprise. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that in it. And we had a run this afternoon, and things are being ironed out, the niggles and that. We're getting a flow in it, and the comedy is really singing out from it. So that's one part of maybe a catharsis or a healing.
Yeah.
It's a gift, you know.
Well, Sharon will be delighted, because she's texted in to say, I booked tickets to see the play weeks ago. Thank you very much, Peter. I went through a period of stage fright myself, and it's inspiring to see how other people work through their versions of it.
So that's great. Thanks, Sharon. And we did a presentation of a portion of this last year in the Watergate Theatre during Kilkenny Arts Festival. It was great, and they've been brilliant, coming on as co-producers with Rough Magic Theatre Company. And we had, like, it was just a presentation of a few scenes, but we had lighting design, and we had sound design and video design, with all these wonderful theatrical elements contributing to the telling of the story. Mm. And it went down really well, not just with a few actors who came who said, yeah, I've had some of that, but with people completely apart from the business who've no maybe knowledge or interest in the business who said, yeah, this is about loss and grief.
Yeah.
And thankfully, it's proved broadly relatable for a range of people. And that's really gratifying for me.
So not just Sharon, anybody who goes to see it between the 5th and the 12th of August at the Watergate Theatre as part of the Kilkenny Arts Festival. So kilkennyarts.ie is the website. And then the Dublin Theatre Festival as well is happening a little bit later in the year, the end of September into the start of October, dublintheatrefestival.ie. Smock Alley will be hosting What Are You Afraid Of by Peter Handley. Peter, a real pleasure. Thanks a million for coming into us.
Thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.